How are you doing? Okay, let me just get settled here. All right, hello, good morning. It's fantastic to be with you this morning. As already been said, my name is Jack. Thank you, that nice little clicker. My name is Jack, and I'm going to be sharing some thoughts this morning for today's sermon. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians, so if you want to turn there now, that'll be great. I just wanted to start sharing a little bit about some experiences I had this week. It's been a good week. I had a nice week, but I realized some kind of funny behavioral traits of mine. I know. Andy's not surprised. He knew that already. But some things I do which I started to really question. All right. I'll give you an example before we jump to wild assumptions. Wednesday morning, okay, getting ready, about to start my day, and I go to my sock drawer, okay, and there's one pair of socks left. One pair. Those are the pair for today. Okay, so logic says, all right, I need to do a wash. I need to put a wash on so I've got new socks for tomorrow, right? In my head, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll get the wash done, that'll happen. I kind of put it off. I put it on my to-do list. It'll get done somehow, right? Lo and behold, I turn up the next day, I don't have any socks. Okay, so in desperation, I'm thinking, man, what am I going to do? I put a wash on immediately. I'm walking around barefoot. Eventually, the wash gets done. I've got wet socks. I'm thinking, what's going to go on? And this cycle repeats itself every single wash cycle I do. There's always this couple of days where I haven't got any socks or things aren't ready. My wash isn't done. And yet I don't seem to consider that's an issue. Maybe I should wash them again. I keep doing this thing. I'm wondering what I try to think what and I don't think there's a name for this condition. What I've called it, right, is naively optimistic delusion. That's what I've called it. That's what I've named it. Because I seem to think somehow a miraculous event is going to happen. It's just going to get done. It's like this with McDonald's as well. Let me give you an illustration to help this one. Okay, this is McDonald's. Now, I have this love-hate relationship with McDonald's, okay? And maybe you all share the same. I get this craving for McDonald's. I think, man, I just want a McDonald's. I want that. I get this sub, the sweet chili sub. I love it. Tuesdays and Thursdays. Sub of the day, £3.59. Fantastic. And I eat this sub, and then afterwards I'm just like, in the moment, I'm loving it. And afterwards I'm like, oh, I feel sick. This is horrible. Afterwards I'm like, never again. I'm never eating McDonald's again. I feel physically sick. I feel sick in general because I just poisoned myself with the evil that is McDonald's. But nevertheless, again, I go back to this Thursday. I was like, man, I had a real craving for McDonald's. I ate McDonald's. Afterwards, immediately, I felt sick. I just seem to think maybe this time would be different. Maybe I'll be different. I don't know. Maybe they've changed their recipes. I'm not sure. But lo and behold, I felt very, very sick in what I was doing. I just started to think, well, what is this like? I have these cakes. It was my birthday recently. People give me cakes. And thank you very much, all of you who cooked me these cakes. But one of them, I kind of left in the tin. And I left it too long. And you know when it gets dry, and you're like, I'm probably not going to eat that. But I didn't throw it away. Because in my head, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe something will happen. All right, maybe I don't know, maybe it'll go past the stage of hardness and then get softer. I don't know how it works. So I kind of left it there knowing I didn't really want to eat it, but also I didn't throw it away. And I think, why am I? And I eventually go to it. Okay, we had a Brother's Tea group on Wednesday, so I thought, brothers will eat this. That'll be fun. This will go down the tea. I take it to the Brother's Tea group. We get out. We're about to cut it. I look on the bottom and there's a stick mould. I was like, oh my God. And we threw it away and there were some cupcakes. And I know it's contaminated. It was terrible. So I threw it all away. But It just got me thinking about this kind of thing. I kind of like to ignore the truth sometimes. I like to pretend things aren't happening. Okay? And this is relevant to my sermon. All right? Because what I actually wanted to talk about today was our own mortality. Okay? What I want to talk about today is a very well-known fact among all of us that we all face the very same end. Okay? One thing we definitely all share in common, and that's that one day we're all going to die. Guaranteed. Every single one of us is going to face that same end. And the second fact we all know is we don't really know when that's going to be. Okay, sometimes maybe we can have a bit more of an accurate prediction if health challenges come our way, but normally we don't know when that day is going to be. So that's kind of why I want to talk about today. Let's turn into 2 Corinthians, and that's what we're going to be talking about. I'm just going to adjust this, because there we go. All right, 2 Corinthians, I said chapter 5, sorry, I meant chapter 4. For those of you who have a paper Bible, that's no problem, you just flick back. If you've got an electronic Bible, that just ruined your day, didn't it? So, I'll give you a moment, but 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to be in verse 16, and I'll read. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now, it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident, and know that it is, as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the Lord, away from the body, and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him for the things done well in the body, whether good or bad. Amen. Okay, my first point is a home not built by hands. Alright, I think it's gonna... There we go, a home not built by hands. Alright, this is talking here about this earthly tent that we live in. It uses an illustration of a tent. I think most of us understand the idea of what a tent is. Normally used on travel on some kind of holiday. Normally, in this time it was used on travels. It was used when you were going somewhere, but it was very much seen as it was a temporary dwelling. You didn't want to live in a tent for your entire life. You wanted to live in a fortified city, right? Tents weren't very safe, they weren't very secure, but they were definitely very, very temporary, okay? And it's referring here to our bodies. These earthly tents that we live in. It says we live in an earthly tent. It's very temporary. It will end. It will be destroyed. With everything else we see, it will no longer cease to exist at one time. Okay? It's giving this image that this life is temporary. But when this is destroyed, when everything we have fades, we have a home in heaven, a house not built by human hands, a heavenly home. How incredible is that? That's great, right? But I think the reason I want to talk about this is I don't think we always fully appreciate that. I don't think we always fix that in our minds and truly appreciate exactly what that means. Because we get so comfortable here. And it's easy to do because we live our daily lives and we go about our daily lives and everything we see around us is physical, everything we see is material. And sometimes it can be very hard to fix our eyes on what is unseen. Even that, how do you fix your eyes on what's unseen? Even that idea is that can be hard for us sometimes. It can be very difficult. We can get consumed with this life and the things we do here. It's so important for us to remember we have a heavenly home. You know, in Philippians, Paul talks about having that our citizenship is in heaven. Chapter 3, verse 20, it says that we have a citizenship in heaven. We don't belong here. In Hebrews, it talks about the likes of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob saying they were foreigners and aliens here on earth. They didn't belong. That's the same for us. We don't belong here. This is not our home. This is not the end. This is not our final destination. We're just travelers. We're passing through. This is very, very temporary. And that's really important because when we have that in mind, it very much affects how we view things and how we approach situations in life. You know, just yesterday I was spending time, Coach Lombardo, I went down to the southeast, spent time with a group of disciples, and there was one sister, I don't know if any of you know her yet, her name's Ashley Howell. She does a 1-year challenge, similar to myself and Shakira, but she's doing it in the southeast. Yesterday, Ashley was having coffee in the morning with Nadine, who's another sister, and they were having a nice chat. And she got distracted. She was just chatting, which is obviously chatting, getting very involved in the conversation. But she looks around, she wants to check the time. She looks down for her bag, and her bag's gone. It's disappeared. And she's going around the aisle, it's right under my chair, she checks under the chair, she's looking around, starts panicking, thinking, where is my bag? And she goes up to the counter, speaks to people, and they're like, yeah, we've had quite a few robberies here recently. You know, people just pick the bag and they walk straight out the door and it's gone, just like that. Everything was in there, phone, wallet, keys, like all of her credit cards, even like the small things you don't appreciate until it happens. Like if I lost my phone, like all my schedule is on there, all these little notes I make now and then so I remember things, do your washing, don't eat McDonald's, you know, that's all there. And just disappeared, it's gone. So I was really, really inspired just because she was actually just so joyful. If she didn't tell me, I wouldn't have had a clue that it had happened. I wouldn't have known. She was very much at peace. She's fine. I'm like, oh, well, you know, I called the bank, cancelled the cards, called Paul, he's sorting the phone, no big deal. I thought, wow, that's really... He said, yeah, well, you know, a year and a half ago I wasn't too surrender because I was at the beach and I was looking after my disciples, their little kid. I had my purse and my camera in my hand, and he ran towards the road, and so I just dropped my purse and my camera, and I went and picked him up, and when I came back, my camera and my purse were gone. And I was like, man, God's trying to refine you, isn't he? So don't worry about this earthly stuff. It's not a big deal. And she got the point. And anyway, she's like, you know what? Amen. God granted me repentance. I didn't know. I'm fine about it now. It's okay. But it took those trials. It took many times of God reminding, look, don't worry about this stuff. It's not a big deal. I'll give you new stuff. It's fine. Stuff isn't important. I think it's so good to have that perspective. Because we get so consumed with our lives. It's so easy to do. We get so wrapped up in our weeks and what's going on. We totally forget perspective. We totally forget what's important, where we're going. We totally forget we don't belong here. This is not home. This is not where our true citizenship is. And our destination is and should be heaven. That's what we're going. That's what we need to work towards. Okay. My second point. If you want to turn to James chapter 4. I've got to use this more. My second point is arrogant assumptions. Okay? Ooh, I know, right? Arrogant assumptions. I'm going to read in James chapter 4, verses 13 down to 17. I'm sure many of you know this passage. Alright, so now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Quite a hard-hitting passage. And honestly, I think we're actually all very guilty of this at one time or another. I think it's so common for us to really take for granted what we have. I mean, even our time here on earth, even our lifespan. We're a mist that appears and disappears. What is your life? Yeah, we go on, we have our plans, right? That's not wrong to have plans. It's not wrong to have goals. It's wrong when we put all our security in it and we take for granted and we make the assumption that that's definitely going to happen. You don't even know if you've got tomorrow. And that's not some kind of like, I'm not trying to instill any kind of fear, but that's true. That's the way it is. We have no idea what's going to happen in our lives. We don't know what's going to happen one day to the next. So many curveballs come in life. So many different things that we didn't know and didn't assume and didn't plan for. Our lives are a mist. If I think of a mist, I think of like breath on a cold day. Or like the dew in the morning. You know, sometimes you see that misty dew is gone a few hours later. Right? And I wanted a visual illustration, so I got this Airwick Aquamist. Okay, I borrowed this from the household of the Rowdens. It's Freesia and Jasmine. I have absolutely no idea what Freesia is. I don't know. I'm assuming this is Jemima's touch, not Paul's. It seems like a feminine touch. But anyway, I want to really think about what a mist is. Now, can I actually have that light back on? Is that right? Thanks. Now, pay attention, I'm only going to do this once. Alright, and I don't know how it's going to go, alright? But we only got one shot, we got one miss. You ready? Pay attention, don't blink, so pay attention, alright? Ready? And I'm going to try not to hit Alex either. So, okay. Wait, do you still see it? Come. Just like that, disappeared. That's what our lives are like. That miss that appears and disappears. And many of our lives don't smell as good as Freesia and Jasmine. I really wish they did. If I was thinking of that kind of aroma, that'd be great. But honestly, guys, our lives come and they go in a blink of an eye. Now, to us, it might not seem like that. That's because we don't really have the correct perspective. We're in that life. But you think of the millions and millions of people that have existed, and they thought exactly the way you did. They lived like they were never going to die. They lived like they had decades and centuries left, and they didn't savor every single moment. But we've really got to think, of that little mist that is our life, how do we want to use that? How are we going to invest that? What's the best way to spend that little mist? Yeah, we can build up our own security, our own little lives, our own little empires, and the world tells us we get a good education, right? So we can get a good job, so we can live comfortably. You know, we can get our health insurance and our mortgages, and we get life insurance, and we can set up these kind of things. We get a nice pension, so one day we can just retire and live comfortably for, I don't know, a few years, however long we're given. None of those things are wrong. It's not wrong to do them. They're quite good if we can use them in the right way. But honestly, those things don't really require any faith. A pension doesn't really require much faith in God. Now, I'm not saying sack the pension, quit your job, don't do the studies. That is not what I'm trying to say. What I'm saying is that our trust needs to be in God. We need to appreciate that that's not guaranteed. Our plans that we set up, that's no guarantee. We really need to be thinking, how are we investing in life? What's the best way to spend this life? My favorite quote is, the best way to spend this life is on something that outlasts it. That is the only way we can spend that. Fame, fortune. If so many celebrities, you just forgot. Like, people just don't remember. Even the wealthy people, even prime ministers, who have a few people in the history books who remember, who tried to create these great empires, and then we don't really care about it. It doesn't affect anyone's life. You know, I was really inspired yesterday. As Ryan, I was thinking about what I was going to say, and I got a call. I got a call from Param. So hopefully many of you know Param now. He got baptized 2 weeks ago. And Param called me up and he said, you know what, Jack? I've been looking at these documentaries and I've been trying to learn more about Christianity, and I've been looking at these documentaries on evangelism. That's going to be really great. We can just get some brothers together and go and share our faith. And the thing I loved about it was just so sincere. Like, Param is a kingdom kid. He hasn't been in church for years, and he hasn't even been a disciple now for 2 weeks. And just the sincerity with this novel idea of, this is a great message, okay, this is fantastic, this is the best way to use, I'm fired up to be a disciple, let's get some other people together and go spread the good news. So, can we do that? That would be great, that would be a really good idea. I think, oh, Paramount, I think that's a great idea. Let's do that. James Azino had a thing, he called me in a week and said, you know, I really think it would be great with the teams, can we just get a time where, in the week, where we can just go share our faith? I was so inspired by that. Because that's something you can leave behind. Actually, being in heaven and having people that you help get there, that is the most rewarding way to use this life. There's no other way that can be as rewarding as that. That challenge, I thought, man, that's a great idea. Next point, let's go back to Corinthians. My final point here is dying to go home. You know, the Corinthians here, and the way Paul describes it, there's this longing, right? There's this yearning. Back in 2 Corinthians 5, you know, meanwhile we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we're in this tent, we groan and are burdened. Do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed. You know, it talks about wanting to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. They didn't just understand that, yeah, there's a heaven and we'll get there eventually. They were like, man, we want to get there. Because it's so much better than this life. It's so much better than what we're doing. This wasteful, this pointless, this temporary existence. I want to be in heaven. I want to be with Jesus. I want to be with my Lord and Savior in heaven. That is yearning, this real desire. And I also, Paul in Philippians 1:23, he says, no, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. He can see it's so much better to depart and be with Christ. And this is why I said the illustrations at the beginning of kind of sometimes we, because we kind of know these things. I know, unless I do a wash, I'm not going to have sex tomorrow. All right? I know when I'm done, I'm going to be sick. And if I don't eat that cake, I know these things. Do I act on it? Do I live like it? And we know there's a heaven. We know these things. But does our lives reflect like that? Do we yearn for it? Do we long for it? Does everything in our life reflect the fact that we are heavenward bound, that we don't belong here, that our citizenship is in heaven? Do we really look like citizens of heaven? Is it that obvious in our lives? That's the one thing I just really wanted us to think about that yearning. And one question I was really asking myself, coming out, I was really proud, I really wanted to really question this, is that would I be ready if Jesus came back right now? Because I'm not guaranteed that I'll even finish this sermon. There's no guarantee, I hope when I pray, that God doesn't smite me because I've said something so offensive that he doesn't even let me finish. But there's no guarantee, right? There's no guarantee I can even take my next breath. I'm totally reliant on God for these things. And we don't know when it's going to happen. It's going to come like a thief in the night. But are you ready if Jesus came back right now? Just think about that. If that was to happen, how would you feel? Would you feel excited? Yes, finally, I've been waiting, I've been yearning. Oh, come on, take me home. Or would you kind of be like, it wasn't a great week, right? How would you really feel? Okay. I was thinking about this, because I think there's two types of regrets we can have. I think there's the kind of regrets of the opportunity is never granted, and the opportunity is never taken. And what I mean by that is, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I'm a young man, okay? I'm 24 years old. So it seems like, man, you're old, man. Somebody's like, you're old, I've heard of you. But I'm going to go out and let you know, I'm a young man. There's lots of things I really would like to do before I die. There's things I long for, things I would love to say. I would love one day to be married, to start a family, to raise faithful kids. That would be incredible. I'd probably ruin my chances with the shock illustration. I don't know, maybe it's a pity, I don't know, but... I'd like that. I have dreams. I have aspirations. I really want to see the kingdom grow in England. I want to see young English men come to faith. And I want to see things grow. I want to see people become disciples. I really want my life to be used for that purpose, to be used to spread the gospel. I think that'd be incredible. But amen. If God takes me, I can deal with that. There are things I'd like to do, but if it's God's will, I go now. Amen. But there's the other types of regrets. There's the regrets about current situation. There's a regret of, I'm not giving my best. I'm not doing everything I can. I'm not living in a way, I'm not really doing everything I can to please the Lord. I had a great quote recently saying, the Christian life is about running as fast as you can and then slowly accelerating. Alright? I know, seems scary, but that's the way it is. It's not a kind of pace yourself race. When I'm 24, I've got about 60 years. I've got about 10 years, I'm fine, I'm worried about God. That's how so many people think. They think, oh, I worry about my faith when I retire. I don't need to worry now. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to live my life. All such boasting is evil. We need to be ready now. We need to be ready immediately. While it's still a long way off, we need to get prepared. We need to prepare ourselves. And we need to make sure that we're living by faith and not by sight. We need to make sure we're living in a way that pleases God. Living in that way. You know what? We had this brother's D group, but a cake got thrown in the bin, finally. Michael Sokin had a great lesson. It was on preparing for death. I know, right? It was a great time, though. And one of the questions he asked, what's your biggest fear? What's some of the things you really, really fear? It's all thinking, oh, I don't know, like spiders and snakes. And that. Well, of course, with the men, we were like, no fear at all. I know some guy who's scared of spiders. But anyway, we're talking about fears. I think, out of phobia, maybe it'd be sharks. I don't really like sharks. I don't know if anyone likes sharks. it's not my idea. For swimming with sharks isn't my idea of fun, right? But that's not particularly rational. Overnight, it's like on an English beach, and I'm like up to my waist, and I'm like, oh, what is a shark? And I'm like, there's no sharks in this. It's not really rational, okay? But I was really thinking about, okay, what do I actually really, really fear? What am I really scared of? What idea kind of repulses me? I think the thing that repulses me most is mediocrity. And what I mean by that is living a substandard life. And I don't mean in comparison to someone else. I don't mean, well, I'm not as good as this guy, and I haven't got this, and I don't do that. I mean in comparison to what I could do and what I could be. That absolutely terrifies me more than anything else. I don't particularly get too scared about death. That doesn't intimidate me that much. I know I'm a disciple, I know I'm saved, I know I'm heavenward bound. And I'm confident of that conversation before Jesus. I'm not going to stroll in and be like, hey, look at all these things I did. Yeah, let me in. I'm going to be like, hey, you're God, I'm not. Thank you so much. But what scares me, in the idea of that condemnation, that wrath, what scares me is Jesus coming and kind of, I don't know, you review your life, something like that. And I was looking back and thinking, man, you could have had so much more. I don't mean more stuff, and I could have been richer. I mean, you could have done so much more with your life. You could have helped so many more people. You could have made such a better impact. But you retreated. You went within yourself.
you were a coward, or you didn't take these opportunities, why not? That, I hate that. I could not live with that. If I get taken early, I can live with that. Well, I'm done with that, whatever. That doesn't really make sense. But you know what, that's okay. But if I don't take my opportunities now, and then before it's too late, I'd hate that. You know, I was growing up, I was very much a sportsman. Sport was always the thing I really did. And I always hated the idea of getting like beyond my physical peak and feeling like I didn't ever give it a go and didn't ever reach my potential. And I mean, I feel confident now. I did everything I could, and I do, and I'm at peace with that. There's always one thing, every coach, everything, anytime, any advice anyone would give you, like whatever you're running, or you're leave everything out there. Leave no regret. Every single training session I would go into, I don't want a single shadow of doubt knowing that I could have done more. That was the mindset. I didn't want there to be an opportunity that I could have done more. I just didn't want that. Because when you're standing on the starting line, you're looking out, and it's guys to your left and guys to your right, you don't want to think, man, that Tuesday morning I just didn't bother. If only I'd have... Maybe he got... You don't want to do that. You train on Christmas because you know no one else is training on Christmas. That's the kind of mindset you'd have as an athlete. You do everything in your power to give everything you have. It's so important we have that mindset as disciples. That we don't just kind of slug along in our life and just give mediocre efforts and give our token efforts to God. And we turn up to church on a Sunday and say, hey God, I'm here, right? I'm making an effort. I read my Bible. Come on, God. No, you don't get to say that to He's God, He's the Creator. You want to do everything you can. You want to run as fast as you can until your limbs fall. You want to give everything you have. I'm talking faithfully here, not physically, right? But we need to give everything that we've got so we know we finish our race strong. That's the mindset we really need to have when we face God. And this is what he talks about here, this yearning and this dying to go home. Now this quote here, it says, for consecration to God carries with it the obligation to excel, not in competition with others, but in competition with oneself. You have no right to be mediocre if you are capable of something better. That's exactly how I want to be. Whenever that day comes, whenever that time comes, I want to look back and I think, you know what, I did every single thing I could. I gave my best, I gave my all. Because my home is in heaven, I want to live like that right now. I know my life's a mess, I know I'm young now, but it's going to come. One day I'm going to look back and think, wow, am I really this old already? I can do it now, I'm 24, I'm like, I was 21 for you. Like, come on, like, 3 days ago, for like, it just flies by. I'm pretty sure everyone in this room would say, am I really this old? Is it gone that quickly? Not that you're old, while I am, just saying, you know. We'd all feel like that, but we want to make the most of what we've got. And guys, I don't want to disillusion you. Nothing else other than God's grace and mighty power gets us into heaven. Nothing else. We don't get there by works. We don't earn it. There's no way I'm going to stroll in and it's going to be my works and my effort that secures my place in heaven. It's 100% by God's grace. But like I said, out of a response to that, out of some sense of gratitude, I want to do everything I can to save as many as I can and to live a worthy life. A life worthy of the gospel. A life that pleases God and pleases Jesus. Guys, in summary, life is very, very short. Death is very, very certain. And eternity is very, very long. Thanks so much for listening. And you notice I'm not sitting down. I haven't got more to say, but... In response to this, and quite relevant to what I just said, we have a young man today who's decided that he wants to make that commitment. He wants to be ready. He wants to be right with God. And he doesn't want to wait. You know, he wants to sort his life out right now. I'm going to invite Kwaku up, and whoever's going to be sharing. And who's sharing? Who's going to be coming and sharing? Do you want to come up as well? Hello, Mark. And you know what? Mark's in Kids Kingdom. I think someone was going to... His brother, there he is. All right, so Mark's going to come out and share shortly as well. So now we have a... I guess I'll have to share first until he comes. All right, amen. You know, you adjust the plan, whatever. Mark, come on up, Mark. Let's clap to kill the time. But like I said, we've been sitting with Tracy for a couple of weeks now. He's we did counting costs yesterday, and he's made a decision he wants to get baptized. So I'm going to invite Mark to share.
Alright. Yeah, it was great studying with Quaker. As you can see, by his good looks, we're related. So there was an added blessing to study with him, but really just to look into the Word and just see his journey, where he's come from, and just I really admire his focus and commitment to the Word. And at such a young age, it's good to see the maturity of someone that can see that what God has done for them and what it means in their life, and that they're ready to give their life to God. So it's great being family, and it's even better being in good and kingdom with him. So.
This is Sue. I'm sure you'll know it's Quaker's mum.
I'll keep it really brief, so thank you for allowing me to share. it's just, I'll tiptoe. We're still on our journey, yeah? And we're on an amazing life journey together. And this is such an interesting point on that road. And it fills me with such gratitude to God for allowing us to get to this point. And I'm even more grateful for the support and all the help you've had from so many brothers, Jack in particular, and of course my amazing nephew Mark. And I am so proud of you, Quaker. I know it hasn't been a smooth journey at all, but I am totally inspired by how you are determined at your young age to really confront life and to really have the courage to face it. And I am absolutely convinced that there is an amazing purpose for you. And I know that you're going to be able to help a lot of people your age and even beyond that. I have complete confidence in that. I'm grateful, really grateful to God for allowing us to get to this point. And you're my spiritual brother now, as well as my son, so yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm going to stop that, but I just want to say it's been a huge privilege and a real joy to study with you. I know just seeing Quaker start to ask questions. Man, I know every single story we had ran over. Just kidding. There was always so many questions. What is all that? It's just a real desire to want to know and to want to understand. And it's really inspiring, especially just seeing young men come to faith. Just because it's so easy to put this stuff off. And it's so easy to think, like I was just saying, it'll last forever, but it won't. I think just seeing Quaker's heart to know that this is the best life, and this is the best way to live, and I should do everything I can. And to see his heart and get excitement about being able to spread the good news, to be able to help people's minds, to get his right life, to be able to help others as well. It's just been a huge joy to study with you. It's been really exciting. And I'm going to ask Quaker some questions now. Is that forward? So Quaker, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, and that God raised him on the third day?
Yes, I do.
Amen. And what is your good confession?
Jesus is Lord.
Come on, amen. Well, because you're a good confession, we can now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You'll be added to God's kingdom, you'll be added to the church, and you'll have a place in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
All right, come on. So I think our song leaders are going to come up for the final song. And baptism will be outside shortly. Huh? No, you get the other week.
Please remain seated.